Let's turn this morning to the 32nd Psalm, Psalm 32. Beginning in verse 1, let's hear the word of God. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Again, Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing on your word. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to us. Open our hearts and minds to receive it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you consider yourself a happy person?
Nah.
How about the people that you associate with? I mean, do they consider you a happy person? I don't know. Yeah, you would know that, I would think, to at least a little bit. Now, you may not always be singing and dancing, you know, but neither should your chin be calloused from dragging the ground all the time. If we have the testimony of being Christian people, there ought to be some degree of happiness in our lives. Just thinking, maybe a little out loud there, huh? The scriptures, when they use the word blessed, very often that word translates to the word happy. When this passage starts out, it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Happy is he. This first psalm says, blessed or happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He delights in God's law. Is God's word your delight? I mean, if you have your choice, are you going to study the Word of God? Are you going to sit and maybe just even read just a little passage? Are you going to do that? Or are you going to do something else? Do you love the Word of God? It's where your life comes from. It's where your understanding of who God is comes from. It's where the truth of how to live comes from. Yet sadly, it's not always true that that is the delight of Christian people. What does it take to make you happy? I wonder sometimes. You know, I've got a couple of kids in this school that, I mean, it's like pulling teeth to make them smile. You know? And I can't understand it for the life of me because God has blessed them. And it happens. It happens. They're people. The happiness that we enjoy in life, do we derive that happiness from things that are temporal only? Can we only be happy if there's ice cream in the freezer? I mean, hey, that's a good source, right? Ice cream in the freezer is a good source of happiness, yes? A full tank of gasoline. Well, that's a source of happiness. It beats pushing. You know, you got to take turns. Somebody has to take turns steering while everybody else pushes. Yeah, I guess it's exercise. You know, here's a sad truth. But some folks only seem happy if they're unhappy. I'm only happy to be unhappy. You know? Don't cheer me up. Don't tell me about the love of God. Don't tell me about how he has blessed me in any way at all. I want to be unhappy. What do you do? For Christian people, this ought never to be the case. This happiness, this blessedness, this is a part of the character of the new creature that we become in Christ. That should be evident in our lives. And yet, because that old nature hangs on, it catches us. And sometimes it overcomes us and causes us to just crawl along a little bit. But that should not be the case. This passage that we're looking at this morning, it speaks to a foundational block of the Christian's happiness, the joy of forgiveness. Matthew Henry, commenting on this passage, said that is a fundamental privilege from which all other ingredients of his blessedness flow. If we are not forgiven, we certainly are not going to be blessed by God in anything that matters for eternity. We live in a world of people who hate God, who despise him, who are his enemies. And yet even Almighty God graciously allows them another breath. He graciously provides rain in season. He graciously enables their crops to grow. Yet in effect, isn't that a form of judgment for them? In our scripture today, who is it that's happy? Who is it that's blessed? It's the one whose transgression is forgiven. Now, what does that word mean? We say that word. We think we know what it means. We're pretty sure we know what it means, right? You've read it like 150 million times, give or take 100 million, right? The Hebrew word for transgression interprets to a revolt or a rebellion. So blessed is he whose rebellion is forgiven. Now we may say, you know what? I'm a good person. I haven't rebelled against anybody. But we were born rebels. We come out of the womb ready to fight God. Adam was the head of the human race. What a guy. What a prince of a guy. His sin passed to every generation. That was the curse on man because Adam blew it. It was his rebellion that made a redeemer necessary. Keep this thought in mind. When we engage in sin, whether passively or actively, we show nothing but contempt for Almighty God. That's what Adam did in the garden. And we just follow in his footsteps. Whether we are actively or passively engaging in sin, we're showing contempt for God. Now, in this world, how are rebellions dealt with? Usually there's little wars that go on. That's the whole point of a rebellion, right? To cause a war. Back about 1776, we had some guys that said, yeah, we're going to rebel against the old duffer across the pond because, I mean, they're taxing us. They don't even give us a say-so. They're making life miserable for us over here. So we're going to fight him, and we're going to have our own country. Yay, us. We did that. Oh, and we started out so fine that we were not in any way going to do the same, make the same mistakes of the people that we had just rebelled against. We weren't going to have a king. Washington was offered that position. He turned it down. He said, no, we'll have a president, and a president will serve for a term, and then he'll be done. What's happened in 247 years? We don't have a king in name, but we have a set of rulers who are not rulers, you know, by law. They are representatives. They're not, we don't elect rulers. People couldn't get that one over the turmoil that we've had over the last couple of years. They said, oh, you got to obey the rulers. Well, they're not rulers. They're elected representatives. Story for another day. In history, if a monarchy or whatever has been rebelled against, if whoever is the winner of that rebellion gets to determine what the punishment is for the other side. And if we look at history, sometimes that punishment could be merciless. Sometimes the rebels have been dispatched in horrendous ways as an example so that no one else would follow in their footsteps. Sometimes mercy has been shown as an example of God's grace to us. We in turn give it back to our fellow men. Thankfully, the case with God and his children is different than that with men. God is merciful. God forgives our rebellion. Spurgeon said, pardoning mercy is of all things in the world most to be prized, for it is the only and sure way to happiness. Being forgiven. Receiving that pardoning mercy from Almighty God. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The person is happy, the person is blessed whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Now, men will say, I think I can handle that. I mean, cover-ups are the way of the world. You do something a little underhanded, you break a little law here, break a little law there, oh, you just cover that up. Our politicians are skilled at those things. We see men trying to cover up their deeds all the time. Perhaps you've heard the saying, there's a little motto that comes from Nevada. It says, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. It gets covered up. No one ever need know, but God always does. Solomon, Proverbs 28, he said, he that covers his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. See, God doesn't want us to try to hide anything from Him as though we could. That's why He calls us to Himself every day and says, confess your sins. And He forgives you. So if we want to be happy, if we want to be prosperous, we confess our sins. We have our sins covered by God. Now, you remember Adam, when he sinned, he tried to cover up on his own, right? He didn't try to cover the sin. He tried to cover the effect of the sin. He realized that he wasn't wearing any clothes. Now, it hadn't bothered him to that point. It's just the way he was created. It's the way everything was. Didn't even think about it. And yet suddenly, when he breaks the law of God, he realizes that he has come short in some way, and he wants to hide himself from Almighty God. So what does he do? He root around for some fig leaves, make himself a nice little apron, feel fine. God said even that doesn't make the grade. And he made them a covering that was more suitable to them. The killing of an animal and taking its hide and making a cover for Adam and Eve. God is holy, and sin is vile, regardless of the degree of it. We consider, and in fact, rightly so, that there are degrees of sin. It's more horrendous to murder someone than it is to, pocket a candy bar. They're both sin, but there are various degrees to that. They both violate the law of God. They both are worthy of His judgment. They are both worthy of death. Yet there's obvious differences between the two. God didn't say, a man lifts a candy bar that you kill him. But He did say, if a man takes another man's life, by man will his life be surrendered, God, in His view, would require a covering so effective that sin would be hidden from His sight forever. And it's the atoning work of Jesus that would be that cover. There's no amount of self-righteousness that could satisfy Almighty God. There is no penance that we can do that would satisfy Almighty God. And yet we in our own human wisdom sometimes think, yeah, we can do whatever, we can appease God in some way. How many times have you heard it? God, if you'll just do this for me, I promise I'll be in church every time the doors are open. Guys, say that. As though that's going to reconcile them to God. It doesn't work that way. God made a covering that is effective in the sacrifice of His Son. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, and who is not charged with it. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. He is not charged with it. That sin is not put to his account. sin of which we are clearly guilty. Yet God mercifully, through the work of Jesus, does not put that to our account. We deserve that mark on our record. We deserve the consequences of our choice. But Jesus said, no, I've got that. I've taken care of that for you. And so we love Jesus more. We trust him more. This is God's grace to us. This is great grace. Think about that. Let that penetrate your mind. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. The happiness that is pronounced on this man does have a little hook. It doesn't apply to everybody. Say, what? It only applies to those who are honest about their condition. It only applies to those who are honest with themselves and to God. These things are not going to apply to us if we say, I didn't do anything wrong. I am not deserving of judgment. I am not deserving of the wrath of God at any time. I'm really a nice guy. Now, the fact of the matter is we have to absolutely recognize that we're sinners. We have to absolutely recognize that we are worthy of God's judgment. We come to God, as we say so often, with a contrite heart, a broken heart, because we've broken his law. We should become so sensitive to that it irks us to no end, to minorly sin, if we want to say it that way. Now, sometimes we get remorseful. Some folks get full of remorse when they've been caught at something. They're not remorseful because they did it. They're remorseful because they got caught. And because they've gotten caught at something, there are consequences that have to be paid. Still, David said in Psalm 51 that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. It's not remorse that God wants. It's repentance that he requires. Sure, we're sorry. And we should be sorry. But our sorrow should extend to the point where we're saying, God, forgive me because I have offended you. When God blesses us to the point where we see our sin as he sees it, our heart will break. And then when we go to him, for this is the blessing part. when we go to Him, not as we decide, but as He prescribes, then we'll enjoy the blessedness of His promise. God grants great grace. He grants great mercy. And you know what? His Spirit indwells us and pushes us. God will not sit back and let you be content in sin. If you are a child of God, if you are born again, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you're not going to be contented just to violate His law at a whim, whenever you feel, and do nothing about it. This is further evidence of the love of God to His people, that He won't let you be content in that sin. Now, sometimes it might go a little longer, because as you recall, I've said this a bunch of times, David, it took him a whole year. You know? Took Uriah's wife, had Uriah killed. Life is good if you're king. But not if you're king and you happen to be a child of God. And though it took a little time, and David, I'm sure, let his conscience rest a little bit over time as days would go by and there were no ramifications for that evil, yet God was faithful to send Nathan. God said, hey, you're mine, and this can't go on anymore. This needs to be right. And David's heart was broken. This is an example of the love of God for His people that didn't stop just in the stories that we read in the Bible. It applies to you and I. God's not going to let us just go do whatever we want willy-nilly without saying, hey, let me get your attention here and draw you back in. Blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed or happy is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in his spirit there is no deceit. My friend, that's good news. That's the blessing of God to us through His word this day. Let's pray.